Some more Fargo for you all alongside Josh. I'm Daniel, and another episode of By Order of the Peaky Blinders here with you. And Josh, we're going to break down episodes 5 and 6 of this most recent season of Fargo. As always, if you haven't watched it, don't recommend listening yet. You can always go back to any of our other episodes.
If you haven't watched it, like, get your life in check.
What are they doing? I know.
What are you doing? It's crazy.
Really, really solid watch. This is just one of those shows right now, Josh. You know, we talked about it a little bit. I want to say like 2-3 months ago, how we were in like the dead period of TV shows, kind of. And now it has all ramped back up. Like, I've got like 7 or 8 of my favorite shows all back.
Yeah, I'll get a text from Daniel. If you guys don't know, but whenever Daniel and I text, we just like add like the end of the sentence, the last letter is like just exaggerated with like a million of them. So if it's like if it ends with a G, I'll get like a 100 G's. And so the other day I get all mankind for all mankind. Slow horses.
Love Slow Horses. This season of Slow Horses is the best one by a lot. Couldn't recommend it more. Quick watch on Apple TV Plus. It's got our guy Sope Dirisu from Gangs of London, who is so, so good and talented. For All Mankind is such a unique show, Josh. I can't even explain it. For the people who watch it, we're a specific kind of people. It's a show that is like it started in the 60s and is now like in the 2020s. But they moved so slowly and all the characters grew so like impactfully that you can't even recognize the show anymore. Like if you just started it right now, it wouldn't work in any way. It's such a unique. And then The Crown, Josh, The Crown is back.
Sounds great.
And Reacher, really Reacher is back, season 2 on Amazon Prime.
Although one thing about The Crown, there's a little bit of a gripe, but I have to mention it because I watched it like 2 nights ago.
Where are you at? I've seen two episodes.
I'm on
the
first episode of part 2. So I guess what's episode
5?
5?
Yeah.
The time jump, the actor time jump, it's supposed to be right after Diana passed away, right?
Yeah, they just changed the voice, right?
He aged like by 3 years, even though she just died like a month ago.
I noticed that as well, yeah.
That was horrible, but anyways.
It's just a slow episode, that one. But let's talk Fargo. Yeah. Here we go. Episode 5, very much a setup episode. We get an awesome couple set pieces in this. You know, we kind of have like the first time that Lorraine and Dot have like a full I know who you are kind of argument, and then they need to incapacitate Dot. So like that's one storyline. And underlining this entire episode, Josh, is Jason Schwartzman narrating the tiger as the fierce hunter like a TV show would. I didn't know it was Jason Schwartzman. I
did not know until you just mentioned that, to be
there
honest.
There you go. So I guess Fargo has done this in the past. They had Billy Bob Thornton as a narrator in season 2. They had one other instance that I can't recall and I don't have written down. And then Jason Schwartzman, who is one of the funniest characters in the history of the show last year as a part of like the Kansas City mob. And he was like the leader who didn't really quite know what he was doing at any time. And so he's narrating here. It was a good episode. It just wasn't an action-filled episode.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, aside from Dot escaping the hospital that she was committed in, I mean, the whole scene where they kind of they get her is just so matter of fact. We get Danish and we get those two hospital workers who are gonna, you know, inject her with some sedative to knock her out, and they're gonna strap her in the bed and they're gonna take her to the meds. They're gonna commit her.
And she like calmly warns them.
Yeah, and she says, "I'm just letting you know, like I'm gonna pop off on you." And then I like how they didn't show it. Like they didn't need to show the whole thing.
I agree. We've seen it enough. Yeah.
So then they just fast forward to her on the bed, and they're like, they got the shit beat out of them. They have bumps and bruises, and they're bleeding on their face. And she says, "I told you." So that was just a great start to that episode. And then after that, we see how she breaks out of the hospital in her way, and her very clever way. And we see Gator in the hospital as well. It's just a lot of things to digest in this one.
The Lorraine Roy meeting is probably the other like notable part of episode 5, where we kind of watch our characters start to learn truths about each other, which is really enjoyable the way that they did it. Instead of having like a ton of expository or exposition, they just like have us watch them learn about each other. So obviously later in the episode we learn that, and this is the big moments where Roy and Dot first got in contact when she was 15. We're not sure if she was taken or swept off her feet and then married for 2 years. And then we learn, obviously, at the end of six, that it was years filled with hospital visits and bad beatings. And so, Lorraine, this is our first sign of Lorraine being a good guy, where she's just like protects Dorothy. She's like, hey,
We
wait.
learned that in episode six, not five. Did you
Right.
learn? Yeah,
At the very end of six is when we learned about, yeah, the bruising. But her defending Dorothy, I think she started to get an idea that she hates Roy more than she hates Dorothy, at least in those conversations. And then we get a side feud for the next episode of Lorraine versus Roy, which is really fun.
Absolutely. And then we get an iconic scene in episode five with those two bankers, with the two men who work for those big banks, and they think they're just gonna walk all over this woman, and she walks all over them, orders her salad to
Yeah,
go,
Cobb salad
orders
with no
it, and
cheese,
she
right? Is
orders the burgers
that
for them, and
what
then she just kind of just whips it out and basically says, well, the best is when the guy says something and she's like, oh, well, my offer has just
Ten
decreased by 10
million.
million. And so
Call, you know what
she,
it was? Called her lady.
and so she is really just showing her prowess here. She's really confident in her ways, and then she has her own little monologue, drops some knowledge, and then she gets up, walks away, and the burgers are delivered, and they're sitting there dumbfounded. They don't even know what just happened. So you can tell just how much shit she don't play, and it kind of was like a little foreshadowing in that I think that she is gonna walk all over Roy, and we obviously know that she kind of has the upper hand on Roy, and I think Roy's a little scared of her.
It's just pretty unbelievable what Noah Hawley is doing here, where we get an entire episode without Munch into pretty much an entire episode without Dorothy. And now Lorraine is the leading star of this show. Like, if you were to ask me right now, like, who is the person that you want on screen or you're most like encapsulated when they're on like the storyline and the plot and everything, she's now like the main character. So she's got these key meetings. She's swinging and dealing. Dorothy is a little bit more of like a pawn almost right now. So I'm curious to see how they'll kind of carry her back in. There is a theory, and it's a pretty fun one to explore because it's not any sort of guessing about how it's going to end. But there is a Wizard of Oz theory that goes along with this season of Fargo. Have you heard this?
No, I have not.
All right, so follow me.
Well, her name is
Follow
Dorothy, so.
me through, yeah, follow me through the cast of The Wizard of Oz here with the cast of our show. And there's a couple of them that definitely kind of match up. Now, obviously, Dorothy is married to a very scared man, cowardly, you may say, and his last name is Lyon. So like that kind of fits into it all. And then it's like, is Roy Tillman like the wizard, you know, the big bad. It definitely seems like Lorraine is a little bit of like a wicked witch that actually has like some good-hearted intentions as well. It's an interesting, I don't know what it like means,
I
but it's
think it's
just
a
like an
stretch,
interesting
but
play.
yeah, I think it's a little bit of a stretch, but it could be right. Dorothy Lyon, it makes sense. That's you never know with this show. There's a lot of
No,
hidden
it's just like
metaphors,
it's not
hidden
meant for
meaning.
anything. I think it's just something they threw in because like she always focuses on getting back home. Home is a key element in this show. And even today, in watching episode six, where the husband just constantly wants to go home, and there is no home. But let's carry through here because you
Well, I
know.
think there's something else we have to bring up in episode five is the turn in the plot with Olmstead, because we see her in the beginning be this cop that is kind of always, walking a fine line, like always just playing by the rules, wanting to, apply the law and, be an actual cop and not play bad. And I didn't expect her in any way to cave to all these people's demands. Obviously, I was always curious as to why they kind of had the plot line of her, you know, being in debt and having a lot of bad debt and her husband, and it makes sense now. The second that she turned and said that she was going to watch Dorothy's daughter, Scotty, I said, well, she's now, she's in even in more debt. She's in more debt to Dorothy. She can now no longer say that she's walking, you know, on the path of the law. She's now playing with the bad guys. And then we see later on that Lorraine makes an offer to her to kind of make her debt go away or help her.
I thought it was a great offer. Yeah.
Right. And so it was just kind of ironic that now she's indebted in a different way, not monetarily, you know, but morally she's indebted to Lorraine and to Dot. She's kind of intertwined with these people who are kind of villainous and unlawful in themselves. So that's a thing to monitor to see how that kind of progresses.
Yeah, I think she decided, she's like, you know what, I'm just going to start playing the game now, kind of vibe, where it's like,
especially because I didn't expect that.
No,
and
not at all.
She's in too deep now.
What they did
there's
with,
no turning back.
Right, but what they did with her husband is so extra. He is like one of the worst people in the history of the world.
He's such a douche.
It's so insane that she, as a cop, doesn't just like smash him in the face. Or maybe, I'm thinking maybe episode 7, she's going to kick his ass physically because of like the Lorraine pump up.
Crazy. The line where he's like, when she's like, I can't be on birth control, I get blood clots, and he's like, IUD. It's like, what, dude? Like, how did he not get slapped on the spot there? That was insane.
It was a combination of so many real life arguments that happen, just never all of them at once. But it's like all of those little things have been said in a conversation between an upset man and wife kind of thing. And they just collected all of it, and it was nuts. Wants a cheerleader. He's terrible. He's so bad, and he just does it all day long. And it's like, oh my god! And then the drums. And he used to be a drummer.
Dude, that was the best way of, because I mean they always do that where they have that drum, the heavy drum kit intro into either the start of the show, into random scenes, and they had Scotty playing the drums, and it was on exactly the same tune. And that was just such a clever way of doing it. Like, they're always finding different ways of being different and being unique to not make the show the same old thing. And that's something that I really appreciate.
I think we got to carry on where the FBI continue to kind of be like a mess.
Worst.
Like, it's just, they're just, the scenes are
I told
boring.
You, I said it from the start. They're the worst character.
Still so boring. Like, that FBI conversation with the cop Olmstead was terrible. I don't know. Like, these people are just not doing it for me. Their physical acting, their facial acting is not good.
Horrible. They have to have some meaningful impact towards the end of the season, or else it's going to be
Who
pretty
knows?
Annoying.
Yeah.
They're just kind of like the dunce cops, I guess.
They're kind of just like telling us the story in a way, because every time they meet with people, it's like an update. But how about this? So we meet Mr. Lyon, Lorraine's husband, who is probably the equivalent of someone who got electrocuted mentally in his capacities. Like, he is this like granola war playing child in a man's body. It's like the choice to have, like, this is the apple doesn't fall far from the tree here with Dorothy's husband.
Are you talking about Dorothy's husband or Lorraine's?
I'm talking about both of them.
Yeah.
They're father, son, and they're morons.
Oh yeah.
I'm
No,
saying this
absolutely.
Guy is like so full of nothing in his brain, and he plays with his toys, his war toys. And
yeah,
he's like
he's
talking about his son. These two people are just two of the same now.
Yeah, no, definitely definitely interesting to kind of introduce that, and just the dichotomy between him and his wife. Both their wives are just so different. So it's kind of like Wayne
they
is
both
just,
marry tigers.
Yeah, Wayne is like father like son. But I would be remiss to not talk about Ole Munch's,
let's get to it,
like seven different lines of pure genius, like amazing writing.
Yeah, what'd you get from this? Like, walk me through your perspective of this scene.
Well, I mean, which scene? The one where he, I guess, presumably gets blown up or attempted to get blown
Not
up?
yet. I think it's a bit of a cliffhanger.
Well, I think that's going to be, I think the point of that, and we're going to see it in the next episode, is we're going to see whether or not he actually is a human or if he's some creature. Because if he survives that, then he's not real. And we're going to get our answer there. So that was the point of that.
Timeless creature is what they said.
Right.
So I think he's going to survive.
I don't, like Gators, like, is just
Gator is
He's an idiot.
unbelievable. Gator is
Yeah,
unbelievable.
he's.
Every scene he's in, I'm cracking up when he walks in to tell them about the wrong. He's like, he thinks he's the, they think he's the wrong one. And it's just like, it's so funny. He's like,
You
well, you
gotta
know,
like
sometimes you
respect
hear.
his like he's fearless. He
And
really
he's
is.
smoking the fucking
Yeah,
vape.
when he's hitting his pen and then he spits on the window. I think that Ole's line though, when he says, "When a man digs a
He digs his
grave,
own grave, right?
if he intends to put somebody in it, like or I guess he said, and without somebody to fill it, it's just a hole."
Yeah.
And I mean, like that's gotta mean something down the line. Like, who is he talking about there?
This
I
just
don't
didn't make any
know.
sense to me, to be completely honest. This entire scene missed for me.
Why?
And like I just didn't I it just didn't quite I didn't understand why they were like meeting. And then like Gator is like, well, this is a draw. Don't think like you won. Don't pull anything. But what's the point of this meeting? Like what? He's killed all the like. Is this for him, like? It's just for him to get paid. It's just. It
I
didn't feel
mean,
like how could
yeah,
they have gotten in touch with him?
he's a hitman. What do you mean?
Yeah, but we missed the scene of them like sending out a message and setting up the meeting. You
I don't
don't
know. I
think?
mean, I think that I really don't. I don't understand what his character means
Yeah, I'm
yet.
just missing it. This part was
But
maybe I was
it's
looking down at my
gonna,
phone personally.
yeah, probably. I mean, there wasn't really much going on here. I think he was just kind of like doing his thing where he talks and doesn't make sense, and he's talking in like Jabberwocky. He's talking in I don't even know. Like he's like it's definitely some like old English. Like I don't understand what he's saying, but I'm
Roy.
excited to see what happens.
Yeah, I want to talk about two more scenes. The first scene of the sixth episode where Roy confronts Vivian, who's the bank owner, whatever, and like essentially like strips him naked and he's like, you can't be doing this shit anymore. And he's like, just don't sell to the lions and I won't kill you, essentially. And it was really fun, a great way to start it. And then you end the episode very similarly, except Lorraine does it in her way, which is having Danish, who we didn't talk about this, the fifth episode, Jon Hamm calls Danish Graves' son, which like that guy's definitely older than you, bro. And then he says, I can never respect a man whose first name is a pastry.
Oh my
Was
God,
really good. Hamm
yes,
said it
that was
to
funny.
Graves. And then Graves is like, Danish, we're gonna go steal an election. So he finds Vivian in the strip club, which they kept that scene on for like a, I'm like, wow, we were just watching a lap dance here for like 25 seconds. It's so like very
That
funny
guy's
about
gone through
that.
the ringer. That guy's gone through the ringer in the last, 40. And he, she says
She
that
roasts him.
your son who's enrolled at Notre Dame,
There's no more
tuition,
tuition.
yeah, tuition check, is overdue, and he's getting expelled, and like. That's poor guy. Poor guy. He's like he hasn't really done anything in the last 48 hours, and his life is over.
He said, she said, this is what Lorraine said to Mr. Vivian. You decided to avoid death. So instead, you choose
Right.
the dead-eyed stares of your futureless children. Oh my goodness. Like that
Incredible.
was real.
She's
She's the
incredible.
best. She's not, she is the star of the show.
Well,
And then the offering of the job to Olmsted, that whole scene was incredible too.
Well, that's what I was saying is that she has leverage on her. She knows that she is in debt, and that's the point of that whole thing. And she is they that is
But
her
she is in
that is
debt.
her line of work.
He
That is
does
her
need
line
it.
of work. They
Yeah.
literally help people. They find bad debt,
She's the
and
CEO of Redemption Services.
right. And so now she's gonna help her out so that she can have her back. So now she has some in with the cops, and we're gonna see how that plays out. But one thing that I also wanted to go back to is that Gator wasn't blowing up Olemunch's car. He was putting a tracking device on his car.
That was an option. You
I
think that's
think,
what it was?
yeah, I'm thinking about it now. It's a tracking device to see where he goes, like where he lives.
I thought that originally, but the thing that he opened up, he would just have like it on his phone if it was a tracker.
I
He
don't
like
know. I
opened up a
mean,
thing with like a an antenna. That's an explosion device.
is it?
I'm pretty confident.
I
That's
mean,
not
I don't
like, you know
know.
what I mean? What does he have? Like a freaking Indiana Jones
Yeah, he
tracking
doesn't have. There's no like. There's
sphere?
no like. There's no like
What do you mean?
car
This is
tracker
like
to like app on his iPhone. Like, that's not how that
this
works.
is like the new age. Yeah, you just put like the AirPlay or like the, you know, the AirTag.
Who knows? I think that. I mean, come on. I mean,
What do you think
now
it's
we're
going to be like
getting.
a radar with a circle? It's
Yeah,
going to be beep, beep, beep.
I do actually. But I
I'd
mean,
like
so
to see.
that's an option. I guess the last thing about this episode that I'll say is that we finally see Lorraine feel sympathy We see a total 180 of her character that I never thought we'd see. I thought she was a ruthless, villainous bitch, to be honest. She is now a sympathetic boss. She feels she has good intent, somewhat good intentions. This is all relatively speaking. I wouldn't say she's morally right, but she has really good intentions towards Dot. She feels sympathy for her. She doesn't want her to go with the bad man, so to say. And I it's a total 180 on her character, and the show does a really good job of making you as a viewer do a whole 180 on her character.
It's really good. It's really, really good. If you go to the Fargo IMDb website, like the first photo is John Hamm in the hot, in the bathtub in the backyard, which is like an iconic
and
cover
his moist
photo.
Repose, his moist repose.
In his moist repose. Here we sit in season five. We have had good but not great reviews since the opener episode, 8.8. Everything else has been under 8.5.
It's so good. I mean, I don't even know where it's gonna go. Like, what
well,
do you think?
I know where it's gonna go next episode.
What do you think?
It's just gonna be a Dot episode.
Okay.
Whole thing. I'm just that's gonna be
I could do without the FBI agents. I could do without the same old, like, it's been a lot of the last two episodes, like besides seeing stuff from Lorraine's perspective, seeing what's going on with the bank and Olmstead. There hasn't really been a lot of progression with Dot.
That's because
And
there's
like,
no. So go ahead.
I'm saying in terms of like we kind of got to get to the point where Roy comes face to face with Dot.
Well,
we need to see what happens there.
correct. So like when you watch a TV show or a movie, there is something that is on a timer almost always that like
Right.
you push towards. There is nothing on a timer in this show. You just kind of marinate in some of the storylines that don't have anything that they're working towards. There's not like a big ball that everyone has to get ready for, or a big show, or a big this, or a big that, or a target, date that things are going to go down, where the bomb's going to explode, or any of that stuff. So Dot is that piece. I think we're going to get like a lot of her family. Like, we don't know anything about her parents. We don't know about her siblings. We could see like Dot escaped, right? So like she's on the run, and so I hope she goes like home, wherever home is for her. And that
Yeah,
would be
where
cool.
is home?
We have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
Texas?
Maybe Nadine.
Yeah,
Dot.
Texas.
Maybe she's not even
Oklahoma.
Nadine. So, I mean,
No, I think she's
we'll,
Nadine.
yeah, we'll see what happens. But I'm very intrigued. I'm just so goddamn intrigued to find out what happens with Ole Munch. Like, what is going on with this character? And he has to have some really big significance. He's not just a hitman who travels time and defies time and is a satanic creature. Like, there's... He has to have a central role in the whole plot. I just don't know how.
He
You know,
doesn't have
like,
to.
do you
He
not
doesn't
agree?
have to.
What do you mean? Then what's the
No.
point of the show?
I think like every season they've got this like one. Remember it was like, oh man, what was it? The Native
The
American
aliens.
cop. The Native
Oh
American
yeah.
cop, like back in season one or two. And then there was like the black cop in season three. That was like the carryover from season two. That kind of just, I think we got a lot of unanswerable characters that are kind of like No Country for Old Men. Like that's the very obvious comp there. That show just has a lot of, or that movie had a lot of people that had no answers for. But I'm excited. You know, I don't even know how many more episodes we have. I think at least three more.
I think it's 10, no, isn't it?
Yeah, we've got four
Well.
more episodes, 10. So it'll wrap Jan 16. So
All right.
we got another month on this ride. So happy to be a part of it with you all and whoever still listens. That's fun.
People listen, don't say that.
We appreciate you.
Yeah, we do.
All right, he's Josh. I'm Dan, and we've been super happy.